You would be kind enough to turn to Psalms, the 37th chapter, verse 25. Today's title is, Righteousness is our key to the abundant life. And while we're there, Amber, do you want to lead us? Lord, I have your word and I believe it's true. I have everything it says I have. I am everything it says I am. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. There is something in God that those who live for Him, He takes care of them over and above in just taking care of the needs of the world. And Jesus gave us that description of in Matthew 6, where He talks about, are not you more valuable than two birds and God takes care of them? Are you not more valuable than the grass and God takes care of them? Are you not more valuable? You are. And God promises to take care of you. But this psalm has a promise to it. That it's not only us, the righteous, but it also pertains to our descendants or our posterity, that if we follow God, even our children, if they follow God, and our grandchildren, and they follow God, God will take care of them over and above, that we will suffer no lack, nor will we suffer loss in Him. And that's a good thing. That is a really good thing. But again, I want to reiterate that the way that that happens is if we maintain our position in Jesus Christ. Rachel. Do we remember last week that our position in Jesus Christ, use your imagination, that there's the umbrella, and then Christ has given Rachel the scepter. And that scepter signified what? Power and authority. But as soon as Rachel commits sin, you step out. What do you think happens? Does she have power and authority to do what she wants? She does have power and authority to do what she wants. But not according to what God wants done. And so what happens is, as long as Rachel maintains her position in Jesus Christ, which is the responsibility to every believer, that everything that we have need of, God promises to take care of. First our spiritual, then our physical. Okay? And it's real important that we understand that as believers, what do we ask God first for? We ask Him for our physical. And we don't ask about our spiritual. It all goes back to priorities. Thank you, Rachel. It all goes back to priorities. Our first priority is to seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness, and all this stuff will be added unto Him. First, the spiritual will manifest the physical. Hear me, church. First, the spiritual will manifest the physical. And Satan has done a tremendous job. Because you see, he has got us focused on our physical needs at the very expense of our spirits. Let me give you an example. If we are so busy worrying about what other people say about us, we will never be the person that God wants us to be. Why? Because we're trying to please people and not trying to please God. The Bible says that this is a fear. It says the fear of man brings a snare. And when we're afraid to be who God has created us to be, we are imprisoned. Yes. We imprison ourselves. Jesus Christ has set us free. And the abundant life starts with our spirit. The longer we maintain our position in Jesus Christ, in His righteousness, the more our spirit gets built up. Now that doesn't absolve us of responsibility, because that responsibility is, what is our food that we must feed our spirit? The Word, right? It is the Word of God. I have everything in Jesus Christ. I am what it says I am. I can do everything it says I can do in Jesus Christ. Then why do we think that working five jobs, allowing our circumstances dictate to us to making decisions that are unrighteous, that God is going to bless us in our unrighteousness? The reason is because we're not in the Word. We're not in the Word. And I remember years ago, I said, you got to be in the Word. The Word's got to be in you. You got to give God something to work with to build you up. And for 4 years, we have gone from that stage. Now we have come around the circle one more time to the point of understanding that if I am not in the Word, I am fasting my spirit. I am not going to live the abundant life that Jesus promised. The abundance that I need to have is not in the world. All the world does, believe it or not, is take from us, keeps from us. It's the proverbial chasing after the carrot that is on the stick. And how many of us do that each and every day? I guess Ken and I are the only ones. Okay. Well, I don't understand this. No, because my ears were open. The need to be properly aligned with heaven and the laws of the celestial government of which we have sworn allegiance to is not working for us. And yet, we're wondering why God is not doing things on our behalf. We're wondering why relationships are falling apart. We're wondering why that I can make all the money in the world and yet I have nothing to show for it. And I'm working harder than I did a year ago and I'm having less. Why do we expect to have more when we are disobedient to the laws and principles that God has said that His people are governed under? Because we have not been willing to exchange our unrighteous position for a position of righteousness in Him. We still think that we can come and go and do as we please, and the fact of the matter is, you can. In chains is absolutely correct. We are set free in Jesus Christ totally. There is nothing, no sin, no burden, nothing that can keep us from what we are. And remember I said to you, the only thing stopping you from becoming that which God has told you to be is yourself. And the only way that I know that it can bring about the victory of Jesus Christ in our lives is that we must die. Dead people do not respond to what the world has to offer. I've never seen a guy in the grave come out in there and say, look, I want to buy a Cadillac today. I've never seen it. I like to, because that'd be pretty freaky for me. But, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff in God, but I've never seen that happen. Why is it that people that call themselves Christians are suffering under the weight of stress and strain and becoming sick and filled with disease? Could it possibly be they're not in the righteous position found in Jesus Christ? Because dead people don't have any worries or concerns. Right? It's true. Again, I've never seen anybody come back from the grave and say, you know, I forgot to pay that bill. Let me get it before I leave. They're gone. Jesus Christ died to provide us with a way to reposition ourselves. And that repositioning is a spiritual position. As long as I maintain my rights, I maintain my sinful attitudes, my sinful behavior, I am not in righteousness. I am unrighteous. And I am dying. I am filled with sin. And as we know, sin separates me from God. Until I do what? Repent, receive forgiveness, and get it washed under the blood. But many of us don't believe, because the church has taught this kind of greasy grace that you do not have to repent. You don't have to do this. I beg to differ with you. Repentance is a lifestyle that only builds our spirit. And when I am in righteous position with God, I am no longer asking God for myself except for my spiritual needs. Father, I need more of your love. I need more of your grace. I need more of what you want of me. My name's not Jimmy any longer. It's in Christ is my name. Jesus is the head. I am part of the body. And being part of the body, I have a function, and so do you. But it's only going to function properly when you are in right standing with Jesus Christ, and I'm in right standing with Jesus Christ, that we actually lock arms and we move out together. It's the only way it's going to happen, church. And what do we have? We have a church filled with programs today that is based on entertaining the saints instead of equipping the saints. To our shame, we will have to give an account to. But what if we are in Jesus Christ? What if we are in the Word? What if we are exercising our rights and authority in Jesus Christ? Can there be a hindrance? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, there can be a hindrance for me to advance in the kingdom of God. Turn to Psalm 66, verse 18. There is always this challenge for the believer in Jesus Christ. And this challenge King David spoke of. He says, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not listen. If I cherish, if I have secret sin within my heart, if I lust, can you see lust? No, it's hidden in the heart. If I am greedy, can you see greed? No, you can't see a person's greed. You can see the motives and actions based on that that sin. If I hate, can you see that? No, these are all sins of the heart. And Jeremiah 17 says, who can know the heart? It's so desperately wicked. But God knows the heart. And I've heard people constantly come to the altar, oh, God, change me. No, it's you're responsible to change. And what that does is make a decision to change your position of unrighteousness to stand in righteousness. It is then being in the Word. But you see, I find that the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't want to be in the Word. Because when I'm in the Word, I find out what God wants of me. And I don't want to do what God wants of me. Which means I would rather be unrighteous than be found righteous in Him. I want to do things in my power, not by the power and authority of the Spirit. I want to earn my stuff. God wants to give it to me. I want people to like me. God says, I love you without conditions. And we're running around chasing our tails, and Satan is doing a wonderful job with that proverbial carrot on a stick that we're chasing after. What we're looking for is only found in Jesus Christ. We have a void that's only going to be filled with Jesus Christ. No person is going to complete me but Jesus Christ. My behavior isn't going to change until I die to what it is I want for what Jesus wants. And it all comes back to, if I am harboring secret sin in my heart, God is not paying attention to me. Why? Because this relationship is severed. And He is more interested in the reestablishing of this relationship than giving you something that you don't need at the moment. And we try to force God to give us those things. We try to make Him. We try to wrestle against these secret sins. We try to do everything we possibly can, but do what God has provided for us. And that is change your position and change your allegiance. Doesn't Romans 12:2 say, be not conformed to this world, but transformed in the renewing of your mind so that you may know what is the good and perfect will of God for you. But we don't want to get into the Word. Or if we were in the Word, we don't do it. Which is dangerous. It is a dangerous position to take the Holy Word of God and read it and know what He says and still be disobedient. You're a hypocrite. You're a liar. You're a thief. Because you've taken His Word and you've thrown it to the ground. You've not cherished it. You are not a Christian. Because you're taking His Word of which you have sworn allegiance to. You have said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Save me from my sins. And yet, when you read His Word and you say, I'm not going to do that. Well, how's your life working for you right now? Do you want the abundant life that He has promised? I do. I want it. I'm not satisfied with the abundance that I have. Last night, Irene and I, we were blessed because we were given a gift to go out to dinner and celebrate our 34th wedding anniversary. And we sat and we talked about how God has blessed us. We talked about our lives before Christ, when we were in unrighteousness, when we were in dead in sins and trespasses. And then we talked about how God, once we heard His Word, once we read His Word, and then applied it, something miraculous changed in us. I had people coming to me, Gary, I don't like the way you are. For the first time, I liked who I was and still like who I am. You may not agree, but I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please the King. He is my first, He is my only love, and my concern is to please what my King wants of me. Turn to Romans, the 6th chapter. I know there's a lot of scripture, but this is a very serious thing that the Church of Jesus Christ must get a hold of to fight the fight of faith. Romans 6, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll jump to 8 through 13. Paul, writing to the church, says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, in some translations, of unrighteousness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, as parts, and offer your parts of your body as instruments of righteousness. What does that mean? Real simple. You gave allegiance to Jesus Christ. Right? All of us raise our hand that we've given allegiance to Jesus Christ. Amen. When we did that, we declared ourselves dead. Because most of us have gone through the waters of baptism. And waters of baptism means I make a public declaration that I no longer will live my life, but I identify my life dead in the waters of baptism or burial, and that the life now that when I come up out of these waters, I now live through faith in Jesus Christ. And if anybody is here that hasn't been baptized, you're still dead in trespasses and sin. That doesn't mean you're not saved. You may be saved, but could it possibly mean the reason why you're struggling with sin so much? Because you're not dead yet? You have not identified your death? Just something to think about. I, for one, that when I got baptized, I wasn't going to let anybody keep me from becoming all that I want to be in Jesus Christ. And that person who would keep me from being all that I am, they were kicked to the curb. Because my philosophy is, if you're not adding to me, you're taking from me. And if you're taking from me, you're out of here. And I've discarded a lot of people in my life. And I'm the better for it. The key for us is to die. Die to our desires, die to our lust, our sinful behaviors, die. When we die, we actually become more sensitive to the Spirit of God. And those secret sins that are within my heart, He has the ability to bring conviction to me that I can come and repent before Him and allow Him to clean out the garbage that's in my heart. The more He cleans the garbage out of my heart, the more I'm able to have power and authority to maintain my position in Jesus Christ. Sounds like work. It is. I suffer from the same stuff you do. I'm made of the same material. Of course, you guys are younger and look better than me. But I suffer from the same temptations. The difference is, I've learned a couple things. I've learned that there's nothing in this world, or a person in this world, or of this world, that loves me more than God loves me. And so my allegiance to Him and my commitment to Him is complete. The power I have over the spirits of darkness and the principalities and all wickedness, I have because of Him, not because of me. I can't earn that. He gives it to me through my obedience to what He has instructed me to do, which is called holiness. Is there a battle? Yeah, there's going to be a battle every waking moment. And even in your sleep, you will do battle. It is an issuance of once and for all of knowing that God wants you to refocus and reposition yourself so that you align with the government of heaven once and for all. When you make that decision, things change dramatically. Things change. It's just what is. If you do not change, 1 Timothy says it this way, First Timothy 5:24. He says, "The sins of some men are obvious, reaching to the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. What Timothy is being told by Paul is that, you know what? Some of your drama that you create precedes you. And you're unaware of it. You're in the midst of it. You're in the midst of creating it. And you think you're okay. And then there's those who think they're okay, who think that their sin issues aren't being seen. But they'll be exposed. And that's the unrighteous. I always tell you, be careful your sin don't find you out. Be careful. To advertise your sin, is what this person is saying to us, is stupid. Oh, did you hear how I hooked up with so-and-so? How I did this, how I did that? Oh, man, it was wonderful. It was all. What are you, nuts? You're bragging of your wickedness? And God hears? And God's here? I should shudder in fear and trembling. Yeah, you know what? I treated so-and-so this way. I got even with them. You may have gotten even today, but God's going to get a hold of you and get even with you forever. You must maintain your righteous position in order to have the abundant life in Jesus Christ. Secret sins must be dealt with. And the only way I know is dying. It is putting into practice what God says we're to do. But I'm okay. You know, I'm making plenty of money, Pastor, and life is good for me. Today it is. Today it is. I've known people who have had secret sins that have eventually been exposed. I know men and women of God who have conducted themselves in frontal that looked like, you know, everything was hunky-dory. But their sins were exposed. What makes you any different? What makes me any different? We are all susceptible to fall. But if we consider ourselves dead in Jesus Christ, we have a better chance. We have a better chance. And God has set that up for us. He sent His Son so that we wouldn't have to live in unrighteousness anymore. We could live in His righteousness. We don't have to work and slave to get all the stuff of the world. He will give it to us as we build a life that is praiseworthy to Him. God is going to visit our sins. Believe me, He is. It's just whether we're smart enough to get real and deal with it, or He will embarrass us and chastise us because we're His kids. Seeking the kingdom and His righteousness means that we must be educated to the will and law of the King. Through our obedience, it empowers us to overcome and maintain our position of righteousness. And that is reading and studying the Word. It's one thing not to know the Word, because God is gracious to that. He won't beat you with many stripes, but He will beat you to correct you. But it's quite another to know the Word of God and willfully be disobedient to it. Sound like anybody I know? Should be all of us. We're all guilty. Psalm 40, verses 8 through 11 says, I desire to do Your will, O my God, for Your law is within my heart. I will proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as You know, O Lord. I do not hide Your righteousness in my heart. I speak of Your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal Your love and Your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold Your mercy from me, O Lord. May Your love and truth always protect me. My prayer is that we come to an understanding that when we assemble and we don't declare how marvelous God is, we're not in righteousness. Because we are incapable of proclaiming what He has done. We are ungrateful for what He has done and provided for us. We should be shouting and clapping of hands and singing loud praises to God. We should be declaring what He has done and what He will do for us. We should. This place should be on fire. People should be coming in here wondering why this place is shaking the way it is. Could it be we're still in unrighteousness? And I dare say, yes. We should be like the psalmist and lift up our voice. We shouldn't hide who we are in God. We should declare it and be proud of it. Paul says, you know, I am not ashamed of the gospel. But we are ashamed because we still conduct ourselves in unrighteousness. We're ashamed to call ourselves Christians, except in the midst of us, and we expect everyone to accept us and love us for who we are. But the truth of the matter is, we tolerate each other's sins because that's grace and that's mercy. The truth of the matter is God is expecting us that once we know the Word, once we hear the Word, we are accountable to implement it immediately. Whether you read it or not, you are accountable. For as long as you have been here, you are accountable for what the oracle of God has spoken to you. You are not free, nor are you released to conduct yourselves in unrighteousness. You are accountable before the living God. How do we do this? How do we actually change positions? How do we grab a hold of what God has said to maintain our position in Jesus Christ? It's real simple. Very simple. James 4:7 says, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. We don't want to submit to God. We definitely don't resist the devil. And we're wondering why our lives are falling apart. That's why I say there's a lot of repentance that's got to go on. A lot of repentance. I've learned a little bit from Joshua. I'm maintaining my position. I fight every day. Am I perfect? No. But you know what? I know how to repent. I know how to get it under the blood. And I know how to deal with it quickly. I'm exhorting you, church. I'm exhorting you. I want to encourage you. I want to edify you. This is not something that God's going to do. He's left it for you and He's left it for me to do. He did the hard part. He died on the cross. He took your punishment and He took mine. And then, when we cried out, He gave us His Spirit to enable us to do this. It's about time, church, that we grow up. It's about time we start putting our lives together in Jesus Christ. If not, you will have the same, and unfortunately, you will have worse. Because God will allow you to have your life spin out of control until you crash and burn. The choice is yours, but it's real simple. Trust and obey. Amen? Father, I just thank You, Lord. I thank You for the attentiveness of Your people. But I ask, O God, that we not deceive ourselves any longer, God, that everything is hunky-dory. Everything is fine in River City, Lord. It is not fine. The truth of it is, God, that we have not gotten into position with You. We have not submitted ourselves to Your laws, which are higher than the laws of this land. We are told to obey the laws of this land, but when they are in conflict with Yours, God, we are to obey Your laws. Father, forgive us of our insolence. Forgive us, God, of our our stiff-neckedness and willfulness of disobedience to you. Father, we all want the abundant life. We all want it, but it's only in you. It all starts with us edifying our spirits. It is us being able to dream dreams and see visions of what can be, and then we move upon it, Lord. It is all for extending your kingdom, Father, and that kingdom must be extended within me first. Jesus, I know that this goes against the spirit of religion. I know it's difficult truth to chew on. But God, be gracious and merciful to us. Give us the hands to help each other. Give us the hearts to encourage one another. Give us the ability, God, to edify each other. That we stop speaking evil about each other. That we stop conducting ourselves in a way that would be manipulative and controlling, God. That is not your will and that is not your way. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you pour out and convict us of our sins. That we would give them to you so we can have more of you within our spirits. I pray your word would go forth today, God, and we not trivialize it, but take to heart the reality of who we are in you and our responsibility to you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody who would want prayer, be more than happy to pray. Next week, we're going to talk about benefits of being righteous. And there are benefits, lots of them.